Praise the Lord. That's a pretty weak response. I know it's just before lunch, but let's get it going again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Will you please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, where we read these words spoken by Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given to him as commandments to them. Let's also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Church, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, even as we sit at your feet, Lord, we are coming to you with expectation, Lord Father, that you will speak unto us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that what you speak, what you reveal unto us, Lord, what you command us, Lord, we will receive with gratitude, Lord Father. And as we study your word and as we receive that which you have for us, we will internalize it and apply it in our lives, Lord Father. Father God, we thank you, Father, for a time such as this. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with every one of us this day and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, please take your seats. It's once again an honor and a privilege to be here this afternoon sharing God's word with you. And as you have just seen on the video that you've had, in just about a month's time, you will be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Bread of Life Fellowship. What a wonderful milestone. Any anniversary is a milestone. The 40th anniversary is a special milestone, and we look at it and try to decide why. And it's a testimony of God's faithfulness. This church could not have existed if God was not faithful. We would not be where we are if it was not for the faithfulness of God. So we need to acknowledge that. And as I prayed and prepared for this occasion. Now, let me tell you a little story there before I continue. You know, when I heard that the Bread of Life was celebrating its 40th anniversary, and because of a little bit of knowledge of the history of this place, I know that things generally happen in the second half of the year rather than in the first half of the year. So I was anticipating that something is going to happen from September, October, November, that's the usual time when Bread of Life tends to have an epochal event. And when I heard about this 40th anniversary coming up, I did not know the dates, I did not know when it's going to be, and I got this message sometime around February. I said, God, give me a word, something that I can share with the people when I have an opportunity. I don't know whether I'm going to have an opportunity. But if I'm given an opportunity, and there was a little desire in my heart that at some point I will have an opportunity, I need a word which magnifies you, which glorifies you, and at the same time, you will give the people something as a takeaway. And with that, this is what I got, and this is what the Lord impressed upon my heart, and I believe it is for this season. Let me begin with another thought-provoking story. A man had just turned 40, and his friends organized a celebration for him. And in that celebration, somebody asked him, "So how does it feel to be 40? That's a terribly embarrassing question to ask. But, you know, as friends are friends, they ask, how does it feel to be 40? So this gentleman sighed and then he said, you know, when I was 20, I had lots of energy and lots of time, but I had no money. And when I was 30, I had some time and I had some energy and I had, but I still had very little time. Now that I am 40, I have more money and I have more time, but every part of me just creaks. Every time I try to move, I have absolutely no energy. And then he said, I wonder, is this when decline starts in man? Is this when I have reached the top of my whatever and it's time for me to start declining? I never realized that physical decline could start at 40. This story raises an interesting question. What really happens at 40? What really happens at 40? Is it the beginning of a decline? Or is it the beginning of something bigger and greater? Now, interestingly, throughout Scripture, the number 40 is not associated with decline at all. The number 40 is not associated with decline. 40 is a sign of preparation. It is a sign of transformation. It is a sign of new beginnings and sometimes some testings. Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 days on top of Mount Sinai waiting for the Ten Commandments. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. John and Jesus and you and me spent 40 weeks in the womb. There is something about 40. In every instance, or almost every instance, you will see that 40 days, weeks, years is followed by progression. 40 is a time of preparation. But beyond 40 is not status quo. The preparation is over. It is progression. You've got to move. You've got to move. The time of sitting back and listening and enjoying and saying somebody will do it is preparation. That's over. Believe me, that's the message God gave me. He said, now onwards, for bread of life, it is a time of rising up. There are challenges. There will be challenges. But you have a God who has defeated every challenge. So challenges mean nothing. All you need to do is progress. The Israelites stopped wandering at 40 and began living a fruitful, productive life in a new land from then onwards. Once the people received the Ten Commandments, after Moses waited for 40 days on Mount Sinai, the people of God turned from a lawless people into a people who had the law of God to obey. With the start of his earthly ministry, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Jesus paved the way for our redemption and salvation. A movement that has taken us from bondage to life and freedom. 40 days after the resurrection, the church was established. And it has grown and grown and grown and grown into the biggest people group in this whole wide world. Nothing has remained the same. 40 has not moved on yet another year 41. It has always progressed upwards. It has always got better. 40 weeks in the womb. We were born as babies. None of us are babies any longer. We have progressed. We have grown. We have matured. We have become wise. It's progression. There is no regression at 40. There is no status quo at 40. And so today, as we prepare to celebrate 40 years of God's faithfulness in the Bread of Life Fellowship, we must recognize that this milestone is not the end of a journey. You don't come back next month from 23rd to 26th of September to celebrate and say, this is great, now it has ended. This is not the end. It marks the beginning of a greater season ahead. TBLF's days of preparation are over. The years of preparation have brought you to a place where God is ready to move you, His people, into a new phase of progress, of purpose, of fruitfulness. Grasp it. So with these thoughts, we now move into what God has for us today. And therefore, the title of today's message simply is Preparation to Progression. Now, when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, when you look at the whole book of Deuteronomy, you will recognize that this is Moses' last set of discourses with the people. It took him about a month to talk to the people over three different discourses. He had led this people group out of Egypt. He brought them to the boundary of the promised land. He knew that he was not going to enter into the promised land. His job was done. God had asked him to bring the people out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land. But God had decreed at some point that Moses would not enter into the promised land. There would be new people. There would be a new generation of leaders to take the next step forward. So Moses knew his task was done. He had led the greatest movement of men and women on the face of the earth. There's been never a movement as much as that. In chapters 1 to 4, Moses actually recounts Israel's history with God. He tells them everything that God did for the people of Israel, his chosen people. In chapter 5, Moses reminds them of the Ten Commandments. The first tablets were broken. God, in his mercy, gave the second tablets with the Ten Commandments. In chapter 6, Moses recounts the greatest commandment, which is there in verse 4 and 5. Chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, if you will turn to it. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. To this day, the Israelites quote these two verses as a prayer twice a day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the first statement that they quote. And then they say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Twice a day, the Israelites quote these two verses. It's called the Shema prayer. And then in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, Moses prepared the people for the day they would enter into the promised land. See what a good leader Moses was. He knew that he was not going to enter. He didn't say, fine, I'm done. You guys go ahead. And hopefully you'll survive. He didn't say that. He said, no. I have brought you out of Egypt. Now I am going to prepare you to take over that land. I am going to prepare you so you will know how to live in that land. I am going to prepare you so you will continue to hear the voice of God at all times. I will continue to prepare you that you will not turn your backs against the God who brought you out of bondage. So that's what Moses did in chapter 7. He prepared the people. And then in chapter 8, actually Moses takes a step backwards. He steps back a bit. He reminds the nation collectively and the people individually to remember God. To remember God and all that the Lord has done. And it is from this chapter, chapter 8, that we have our lessons for today. So we will look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and we will read verses 1 to 11. I shall read them from the New King James Version. Please follow them in whichever version you do have. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. We'll actually focus on 2 onwards, but I'll read from 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. So what is it that Moses spoke to the people of Israel many centuries back that can still minister to you and to me today? Number one, remember your past. That's what Moses told the people. Remember your past. Now when he says remember your past, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8 verses 2 to 5. Now, when he says, remember your past, it is not like some of us remembering our past. Now, I am probably of a generation which is one generation ahead of all of you. Okay, maybe there are a couple of people here who beat me or can compete with me, but the rest of you are my chota generation. Okay. And you know the standard statements that you will hear from old men. I don't know whether it's old women, but old men anyway. In my days, when I was a child, okay, I used to say this. till I realized that it was only making me sound old. Nothing else. Okay. So when God says, remember your past, it is not to go back and recollect every single incident that took place in your past. It simply means, let your past instruct you. You have to gain lessons from what took place in your past. You don't have to carry the pains of those years. You don't have to carry those pains and thrust it upon somebody else. You don't have to carry things that happened many, many years back and then say, you know, this is the way it should be, this is the way it was, you know, 50 years back, and this generation, I don't understand this generation, always focusing on a small, you know, 6x4 screen. You know, you don't need to talk about that. Is there something in our past that we can apply into our present? Let your past instruct you. So there should be something in my past when I look back on my 65 plus years. I should be able to say, okay, this were things that happened, and this is what I have learned out of it. And that's what I need to communicate to people who might need it. Not tell them that in the past, you know, we were cranking up the car with a crankshaft. Means nothing. You know, we had a cassette player and, you know, you could take the spool from here and with a pencil you roll it here and it comes to this side. So what? My son has no clue what I'm talking about. He probably thinks I need a psychiatric evaluation. They are into Bluetooth. I'm not. That's not it. It is, let your past instruct you. God led the Israelites through 40 years in the wilderness, not because he had abandoned them. He never abandoned them. He didn't abandon them at all. But because he was teaching them, shaping them, and preparing them for a new land, for a new life, a new beginning. In actual reality, and this has been worked out by, I don't know, those people who work out such things, it says that journey from Egypt to Canaan should have actually taken 11 days. 11 days. In 11 days, Israel could have been in Canaan, in the promised land, experiencing all the goodness, but they were not prepared. They were not ready for the new land. But God knew these people who had been in bondage for so many years needed to unlearn the mindset of bondage. They needed to unlearn the mindset of bondage. And then they needed to learn the ways of the kingdom. And it took 40 years for a generation to learn the ways of the kingdom before they entered in. Now remember, of all the Israelites who went into the promised land, only two came out of Egypt, Joshua and Caleb. All the other people were people who were in bondage. They had the mindset of bondage. They had the mindset of slavery. They did not experience the actuality of freedom. And that's why they kept crying, why did you bring us out of Egypt? We could have had food to eat there. We could have had fish to eat there. We could have had drink to drink there. They kept harking back to their old life in an unproductive way. But all the people who went into the new land were the next generation who didn't have the mindset of slavery, but they were being trained, and hopefully some would have got it. We know, according to the history of Israel, that many didn't. But the idea was that you move with a kingdom mindset rather than a slavery bondage mindset. And so Moses told his people to remember everything that the Lord God had done for them. He had led them through hard times. He did not forsake them. He was there with them the daytime and in the nighttime. Exodus 13, verse 21 tells us, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. When God moved, the people moved. When He led, they followed. 40 years. This is what happened. Sometimes God tested them. Why did He test them? Did He test them because He did not know something about them? When He tests us, when God tests us, is it because He wants to know something about us? No, not at all. God knows everything about us. There is nothing that God doesn't know about us. He knows everything. So He doesn't have to test us so that He learns something about us. No. He tests us to show the people who they are. He tested the Israelites to show them who they were, to show them what was in their hearts, to show them if they were truly obedient or not. So when God tests us, it is for us to learn, what was my attitude towards that test? Did I turn and blame God? When things didn't happen the way I think it should have happened, did I turn and curse God? It's not about God. It's about my mindset. And now I learned that I made a mistake. My mindset was that during my good times, I praise God. During my bad times, I forget God. I put the blame on Him. So the testing that the Israelites went to was to show them who they were. Where were they disobedient? If they were not tested, they would continue to disobey and continue to move forward without realizing that they had actually disobeyed. And when we disobey and God puts an obstacle in front of us, that's when we realize, I'm not able to go forward. God is not allowing me to progress because I have been disobedient. It's not because God likes to build obstacles. He doesn't believe in obstacle chase. You know, that's something in the sports field. He says, I need you to realize that you have been disobedient, but you are called to be obedient. That's a call for every one of us. We are called to be obedient to God. But when we have been disobedient, we learn during our times of testing. God had to test them to break their pride. God had to test them to break their pride and to humble them. God could have chosen a whole bunch of people to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Who did He choose? A stammerer, a stutterer, a guy who killed somebody and then ran away for his life, a guy called Moses. Why did God choose him? Because He was able to testify towards the end of Deuteronomy, you will read, that there is no man who was as humble as Moses. There never was, there never will be. God knew that one character in Moses, he might have had other deficiencies. Moses was not a perfect man. None of us are. None of the people in the Bible were perfect. But there was one character in Moses, which is humility. And that's what God wanted. He wanted a leader who would be humble. He wanted His people to be humble. Because God's plan, while taking Israel and settling them into a new land, a new nation that He created, the nation of Israel, was not that they were going to be abundantly blessed in that place. But they were meant to be model citizens that others could look and appreciate that the God that these people worshipped was a God truly worthy of worship. Okay, of course, the Israelites chose not to follow those principles of God. They chose to be like every other nation, and they have suffered the consequences of that. But that's why the test came in. In James 4, verse 6, we read, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God loves the humble. Doesn't like the proud at all. It was God who did everything for the people. He fed them. He gave them manna. When they cried that they didn't have anything to eat, there you are, manna. Quails, whatever you want, everything is there. 40 years, no kitchen was opened. Food was provided. God gave them everything they required. He gave them garments and footwear that was always as good as new. I mean, I know that some of us may think that that's a bad thing because, you know, we like to get new clothes at regular intervals. We like to get new footwear. Now imagine if I was there at this point of time and my wife came and told me she needed new footwear, I would look at her footwear and say, this is as good as new. Why do you need new footwear? This is just as good as the day we took it out of the Bata showroom. Okay. Ah, no, you're not getting a new footwear. That's what God did. He gave them garments never wore away. He gave them footwear, which was fantastic. Their feet never got swollen. By the time I drive from Sohar to here, my feet swell. Okay, nothing happened to them for 40 years. Who did this? God did it. Was there anything that the Israelites achieved on their own? Absolutely nothing. Everything they had was given to them by God. So what was there for them to be proud about? What were they thinking about when they said, I did this? They did nothing. The people had to learn and to acknowledge that their provisions, their freedom, their wisdom was because of God and no one else. And today we need to acknowledge that. Everything that we have is because of God. You know the story of Job. Job himself says, he gave, he took away. I pray that that's not going to be a statement that any of us make. He gave, he took away. Okay. God gave everything. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, we have this verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. You know that in every situation, it is God who does things for you. Your hope is the Lord. It's not the hope is in the Lord. No, your hope is the Lord. In contrast to that, if you go two verses earlier, verse 5, you will read a terrible verse. It says this, thus says the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now, none of us want to be cursed by God. I know we all like to be blessed. Blessed at all times. Okay, that was wonderful. Cursed? Not at all. And we have very clear instructions here. Verse 7. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. And cursed, verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. So you see, we have nothing to be proud about. I did it, he did it, she did it, nothing. We need to humble ourselves, and that's why sometimes there is testing that takes place. Now, where do you and I stand today? The lesson is clear. Never forget the God who brought you this far. As a church, 40 years in the making, remember your testimonies, the answered prayers, the challenges that you have overcome, the lessons that you have learned over the last 40 years. Lesson one, remember your past. Number two, experience your present. This is Deuteronomy 8, verses 6 to 9. In other words, let your present inspire you and guide you to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you start reading from verse 6, it says this, "Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Anybody is an English teacher here? Oh, sorry, brother. Anybody else? Because I'm going to say something which I don't know whether it's right or wrong. Okay. If I'm wrong, correct me outside. Okay. It is present continuous. It's in the present and it is continuous. Okay. Verse 6. You shall keep the commandments. It's in the present. You shall keep. Not you should have kept. You shall keep. And that's continuous. It's not keep it for a moment and then forget about it. You shall keep his commandments. Walk in his ways. Not, yes, I know you have walked in his ways. Yes, you will walk in his ways in the future. No, no, no. Walk in his ways. It's the present. Okay. So you experience your present by obeying the word of the Lord. You keep the commandments of the Lord. You walk in his ways. And you fear him. Okay, for some reason which I have found very difficult to explain, is the some of the versions of the Bible, King James Version, New King James Version, other versions, they bring this word fear the Lord. Okay, now I know that my teacher took his stick, I feared my teacher. Okay, but the difference is, it's not actually fear the Lord in the sense of being scared. It is reverence the Lord. Revere the Lord. It's beyond respect. Respect we have for each other. We respect everyone. You know, I respect all of you. You respect, hopefully, me. No, it's there. But fear the Lord is reverence the Lord. He's much greater. He deserves much greater than just respect. Some of the newer versions of the Bible actually have the word reverence the Lord. Okay. Moses reminds the people of Israel that people, that God's people are expected to live differently. You are going into a land. Remember, he's preparing the people. Send them into the promised land. Where the people don't know your God. The people worship everything. They have idols. They have the sun. They have fire. They have different things that they worship. Your standard is not their standard. That's their standard. That's fine. Your standard is God's standard. Now, God's standard is a much higher standard. So he is reminding them that as the chosen people of God, they have to live to a much higher standard than any other people group that they have around them. And the only way to do that is to experience God's ways on a daily basis. And how do you do that? By obeying his commandments and walking in them, staying away from everything evil and unrighteous. In Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs tells us this in Proverbs 16, 6, second part. "And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So I looked around and then I found that there is a version of the Bible which is called the Easy English Bible Version. Okay. I don't know if any of you have seen that. It's called the Easy English Bible Version. And it says this, "If you respect and obey him, You will not do evil things and evil things will not come upon you. Okay? If you respect and obey him, you will not do evil things. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Remember, Jeremiah says that cursed is the man who listens to man. Here it says, the psalmist says, Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You've got nothing to do with people who do not respect God. Yes, you have to minister to them. You have to teach them the fallacy of their ways. That's your task. You know, as believers, followers of Christ, that's our mission. We have to tell them that. But when I say you have nothing to do with them, I simply mean you don't have intimate connection with such people. You don't have intimate connection with the ungodly, with the sinners, with the scornful. And then Moses goes on in verse 7, 8, and 9. He tells us why we need to let our present inspire us and guide us. Verses 7, 8, and 9. What does it say? "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper." Recent excavations in these areas in the Levant region have shown that there is a rich load of iron and copper. Long before it was identified by scientific means, it's there in Scripture. Moses wrote about this. He said, "You are going into a land where, you know, whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. Everything that you need is provided for you." So what is Moses actually telling the people there? He's saying, God is leading you into a good land. God is leading you into a fruitful land. God is leading you into a land of abundance. God is leading you into a land without scarcity. And that's the same thing God is telling us today. When you step beyond 40 years, the day after the celebrations are over, don't let your energy ebb at that time. That's when your energy needs to shoot up like a starship or a spacecraft, whatever. Okay? Because God is leading us into a good land. Now, how many of us think that this is not a good land? We are all expatriates here, am I right? Yeah, so is this a good land or a bad land? Because I hear sometimes, you know, people cribbing about this land. My answer to them is very simple. If you don't like this land, go back to your land. No problem. I went to my land and I came back within 2 years. This is a good land. And if God decrees that this is a good land for bread of life, remember it is a good land. There is something out there. There is abundance out there. This land is going to make you fruitful. Amen. This land is going to live where you can live without scarcity. Okay, that's what God is telling us. It's not my words. I'm just trying to, add some flesh to the words that are there in Scripture. This is what Moses told the Israelites, and God said, "This is what you need to tell the people at this point of time." So remember the past. acknowledge Him, live the present under the guidance of God, obeying Him, following His instructions. Remember, we are not as wise as we think we are. Hardly. You know, at probably above the age of 60, I got this great revelation that I am not a wise man. Okay, those of you who are less than 60, and most of you are, just wait a few more years. Okay, especially when your children become a little bigger. That's when you will suddenly realize that you are not a wise man at all. Okay. That's what it is. Okay. We are not wise. So what do? Just depend on God. He led His people into prosperity. And He says the same thing. 40 years of preparation, and I am taking you, the Bread of Life Fellowship, My people, into an eternity of promise, progression, and purpose. That's God. Today, do we see this kind of life? A life of fulfillment, a life of satisfaction, a life of lacking nothing, a life of purpose. I mean, a few years back, there was this book which everybody started liking, reading. I don't know whether they read it, but they were carrying it around. Life-driven purposes, or something like that. Purpose-driven life. Okay, by Rick, somebody, I forget his name now. Okay. We all look for our purpose. Why am I here? You are here because God wants you to be here. And if God wants you to be here, He has a godly purpose. Okay, and that needs to be fulfilled. And that's what God will do, because God never fails. If He has a godly purpose for you, He will accomplish it. Okay, God never fails. We may attempt everything that we can to fail, but God will not let that happen. Okay, because He does not know what failure is. You know, some of us know what it is, but He does not. All right. Number two, experience your present. That's lesson number two. And so we come to the final lesson, which is this. Consider your future. Consider your future. Remember your past. Experience your present. And number three, consider your future. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Moses begins with a warning in verse 10. Where he states, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. Okay, thank the Lord. Acknowledge Him for the good land which He has given you. And then he goes on to say, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. When God's blessings begin to overflow in our life, be careful that you do not forget the one who made it happen. Continue to be steadfast in walking within the boundaries He has set for you. Do not deviate in your own wisdom. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, we read of how Saul decided in his own wisdom to perform priestly duties when God's command was to wait for Samuel. Okay. Saul took up the incense fire. That was his wisdom. He said, I waited 7 days and this guy is not coming. I'm going to do it. I'm the king. I can do what I want. And even now we sometimes hear some kingly people who pretend to be kings. I can do what I want. Okay. That's what Saul said. God was not pleased. And what happened? Saul lost his kingdom. In Acts 5, we read of how Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit in their wisdom. They decided to lie to the Holy Spirit and act smart in their wisdom. God did not like it. And what happened? They died. They lost their lives. The time to be most watchful and careful is immediately after receiving abundant blessings from God. And church, let me tell you this, because we have seen this at the 30th anniversary also. You will have an immense outpouring of the word. Men of God will come and share a lot of things. You heard Brother Leslie Ravichandra speak. You will hear more day after day. You will have a fill. It's like a euphoric moment. That's the moment you need to be careful. Don't think we have done it. You have done nothing. You have been prepared for what's going to come. Okay. So now, fold up your sleeves and say, right, we have got the fuel, the fire has been lit under us. Let's move forward. When you have eaten and are full, beware that you do not forget the Lord. What could happen? What could happen if you do forget the Lord? Verse 12, it starts with the word lest. At least in the New King James Version, it is lest. Then there's a dash, and then there's a whole lot of things that are mentioned. When you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses, dwell in them. And verse 13, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty lands where there was no water? Who brought forth water for you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do the good in the end? There's a dash. Verse 12 starts with a lest dash. And then there's a whole list of things that's been mentioned. And then it ends, verse 16 ends with this dash. And then verse 17. What does verse 17 say? So let's go to 12. Lest. Lest means otherwise. Verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this strength. That's where we need to be careful. That's where we need to be careful. You have the blessings, you have everything, you have mighty things done, and then you say, yes, I did it. My wisdom, my strength, my ability, my talents, we did it. That is the beginning of the fall. So that's where we need to be careful. And that is, consider your future. Be careful that you do not reach this place where you say, I did it. Because the next verse, verse 18, tells us, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. It is God who makes things happen in our life. It is God who uses every one of us in different ways to achieve different things, not our wisdom. It's God who gives us the ability, the talents, the wisdom, the know-how to do it, but it's not about me. So we need to remember that whatever preparation we have had over the last 40 years, God has prepared us for a future. You know, sometimes I talk to parents when their children move from one class to another class, and I tell them that when they move from, if you take the Indian school system, when they move from 10th to plus 2, 11th grade is, you know, for some funny reason, they suddenly call it plus 1 and plus 2. I don't know what they were doing till then. They have come up to 10th, and suddenly you're back to 1. Okay, if I was a student, I will question that. I've struggled for 10 years.
10 class. Now, put me in 11th. Why am I going to plus 1? Okay, anyway. The jump that you make there is not as if you are moving from 7th to 8th or 8th to 9th, 9th to 10th. From 10th to 11th, it's a big jump. And then you do 11th and 12th or plus 2. And then suddenly you have to go to college. And when you go to college, it's another jump. It's not a small step from high school into college. It's a quantum leap. Okay? That's what God says happens at 40. Preparation, and then a leap into progression. It's like the, you know, in athletics you have this, I don't know what they call it now, long jump, run, and then take a leap, and then you're jumping. That's what you have to do. That's what God is saying is your task. The danger after experiencing blessings of 40 years is pride. So we need to be aware of that. And the safeguard against pride is humility. Pride comes when we start thinking, I did it. Humility comes when we say, God did it. And we have to say that. This is what Moses warned the Israelites, and this is what God is warning us today. Again, the poet put it very poetically in Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. In Proverbs 16, 18 to 19, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide spoil with the proud. Lesson number 3, consider your future. As I end, let me leave you with these thoughts. Church, you stand at a significant moment in history. 40 years of preparation have brought you to a threshold of a new season. Now, I believe that God has great things in store for Bread of Life in the years ahead. Now, as you move from preparation to progression, remember these 3 things. Remember your past. Experience your present. Consider your future. May the God who led you 40 years continue to guide, strengthen, and bless you. Bless Bread of Life as you and the church moves into its next season of ministry and impact. To God be all glory.
Wonderful. Let's put our hand together for Jesus. Let's put our hand together for Jesus. The message has been passed across. You have to remember your past. Do not forget about your past. Let your past instruct you. Do you have anything in your past that is guiding you to your present or even to your future? These are the things that you need to remember. Remember those good testimonies. Do not live in the past. Let the good thing within the past guide you and lead you. Experience your present. Remember your testimony. Consider the future. Assignment I've been given. We have heard from the past member of this church giving their testimony. A message have followed that yes, we have to prepare for progression. Are you preparing? Remember what Philippians 3, 13 to 14 says. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Brethren, it is not over. The children of Israel, as we have heard, wandering, they wandered for 40 years. TBLF is celebrating 40 years this year. That is the beginning of the progression in this church. In another 40 years, you and I will share our testimony. Amen? The question is, do you prepare? Are you ready? Today's message, by Sunday it will be uploaded. Please do go back to the website and listen to it. Please let us be on our feet. I want us to pray, just maybe two prayer points I'll be calling now, for us to pray. I want us to pray for grace to trust the progress, the process itself. I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me grace not to complain. Because complain is always what is stopping us from moving forward. Lord, give me grace not to complain or give up during my preparation for the next season. Continue to talk to God. Today, you have heard this message. We are celebrating, we are preparing for 40 years. That Lord, whatever has happened in my past that will make me to continue to complain, Father, give me the grace not to complain. Give me the grace to move forward. Give me the grace to prepare. Give me the grace to remember my testimony. Give me the grace to know the path that you have created for me. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Continue to talk to God so that this will guide you to prepare for the new beginning of TBULF. Even when you have gone from this land, that God, the prayer you are praying right now, God will continue to make it to manifest in the life of the generation to come. As you remember last week, we heard about the generation. Today, we are hearing about the progress. Pray that God will guide you. You need the Spirit of God to prepare. Father, prepare my heart for the next level of assignment that you have for me in Bread of Life. Remove every attitude, every habit, every fear, every mindset that can hinder the progression that you have for me concerning the next step for the church. Pray that the lesson of the past, that you will make use of it, it shall never be waste in your life, in my life, in the mighty name of Jesus, and in the church itself, that Lord will help us that every lesson we have had, all our past, will never be a difficult season for us to move forward. Let us ask for wisdom, that God will grant us wisdom from every experience so that we can become more stronger and more wiser and more mature in the will of the Lord. Father, we want to bless you. We want to glorify your holy name for the wonderful message that we have heard this afternoon. We thank you for the wonderful words that you reminded us. Lord, we pray, this word that we have heard, let it be firmly planted in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. As we prepare for the next assignment after 40 years of Bread of Life, Father, we pray that you continue to order our steps in the mighty name of Jesus. As we continue in this church, there will be more open doors for us in the mighty name of Jesus. That you continue to bring more brethren, more people to serve you in this church in the mighty name of Jesus. And the present people that are here, our testimony shall be the great testimony for the people to come in the mighty name of Jesus. Want to bless your servant that you have used for us this day. Even though we have called him from far where he is, we thank you, Lord, that he honor your name. And he is here to share this wonderful message for us. Father, we pray for more anointing in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless sister. Bless the children and the grandchildren in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that the depth of the knowledge of wisdom you have granted him shall never dry up in Jesus' name. And as he drives back this afternoon, Father, be with him. guiding safely back to his destination in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to pray for each and every one of us as we are looking forward for the 40 years anniversary, that God will give us anniversary gift in Jesus' name. Whatever be our heart desire, before that celebration, we shall testify to the glory of God in Jesus' name. As we depart here, the presence of God shall lead us in the mighty name of Jesus. This week, all our activities, all our preparation, that God Almighty shall order our step in Jesus' name. And when we return here for the night vigil, it shall be great testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We remember those people that have traveled or anyone here that might be planning to travel. Father, you will guide them safely to their destination in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. We glorify you, Lord. As we live here, let your presence go with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. Do have a wonderful week ahead.